Hello, my name is István Túróci. I'm the managing director of Royal Tokaji Wine Company in Mad.
Hello, it's Ben Hawkins here. I'm founder, shareholder, and international director for Royal Tokaji.
You're listening to iWine Radio. Welcome to Wine and Dine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo-Chamberlain.
Hi there, this is Andreas Larsson.
Hi, this is John Capon.
My name is Mathur Jaffrey.
Hi, my name is Heike Platter. I'm from the Alto Adige region, or Südtirol.
Hi, my name is Paul Dolan. I am absolutely passionate about growing organic and biodynamic fruit for our wines.
Hello, my name is Lorena Garcia.
Hello, my name is Fritz Maytag.
This is Joyce Bach. I'm the author of Foodie Fight.
Hi, this is Lydia Mandavi, founder of 29 Cosmetics.
Cheers, this is Rob Barnett, CEO and founder of FinVillage.com, where wine lovers connect.
Oh, I'm so excited today to be able to reconnect with Ben Hawkins, who is the Director of International Sales for the Royal Tokaji Wine Company in Mad in Hungary. And we spoke, oh my gosh, this is going back many, many years ago. It really wasn't too long after the company was operating in Hungary. They recently, with the 2010 vintage, celebrated their 20th anniversary. And in addition to Ben, who's joining us from London, we have the privilege of meeting the managing director of the Royal Tokaji Wine Company, István Túróczi, and he's joining us from Tokaji. And I thank you so very much, gentlemen, for your time today.
Great pleasure.
I don't know if you were able to listen, if Lori Narlock gave you the links to listen, but recently I interviewed Ron Wiegand, who is living in Tokaji. I guess he's been living there for 4 years. And I also interviewed the editor of this brand new Tokaji Wine Journal. And so we've learned a little bit about what's going on in Tokaji region right now. And I think probably the most interesting to me is that there is such an interest locally in producing dry wines and sparkling wines. Could you please comment first for us, István, about, I know that the focus of the Royal Tokaji Wine Company is the traditional dessert wines, but I understand that Wilson Daniels is importing the dry ferment wine into the United States now.
Yes, we first decided to produce a single variety of dry wine in 2003, which we decided to be a furmint wine, which is our unique variety, what you can hardly find anywhere else but in Hungary. And the 2011 vintage actually was perfect for this wine because we had lovely warm summer and with not a lot of rain, so grape could get fully ripe with lovely moderate acidity and great fruity character. So for the dry full mint, it's going to be one of the best vintages for sure.
Has the winery been producing a dry ferment for a few years, but this is the first time it's being exported?
Actually, our first vintage was probably, but Ben remembers it better, I guess, was vintage 2006, which we exported.
Okay.
But a tiny bit.
Ben, as a director of international sales, what do you see as the future for this dry ferment trend that I'm hearing from people over there?
Well, this man is absolutely right in that the key plank to all our colleagues and ourselves in Tokaji are the sweet wines. But the interesting thing about those is the amazing acidity, which is the real hallmark. And more and more, I think people are looking for, acidity is a very double-edged sword. On the one hand, it can be interpreted as being something a little bit too raw. On the other hand, if it's wrapped up in a certain structure and richness, it's just what we all need to get our gastric juices going. So I think that as we have got the ferment grape pretty much unique in the Tokai region, that it is really going to appeal and is appealing to those people who want to try something a little bit special,
yes,
a little bit different, which is linked in with the great wines of Tokai. So yes, we've been looking at it hard, but I think that we've now got buyers who are really getting enthusiastic about it.
Really?
So I think it's here to stay.
Okay. But the whole premise for founding the Royal Tokai Wine Company was, in fact, the dessert wines, the traditional wines. And probably we should be talking to great length of the fact that the winery owns several first and second growth vineyards. And that was something else that I was hearing from my conversations a couple of weeks ago, is that there is more energy being concentrated on singling out vineyards for their superior grapes.
I think that is right. The Tokai region is one of the great historic wine regions in Europe. In fact, it was the first wine region to have its vineyards classified.
Oh, my.
So that's a pretty important major landmark for Tokai in Europe. And Tokai wines are very much terroir wines, and that, I think, is where we have a great strength, and that goes right through to the consumer, that they can actually see and understand how the wines are very much hefted to the vineyard.
Let me ask you this, István, what is your comment about some of the winemakers there wanting to simplify their wine labels? From a sales perspective, do you see that the Tokai labels that are listed as 5 and 6 Putoños, Azu blends, that is that confusing to consumers?
Probably 5 or 6 is not that much, but our classification is much more difficult. And certain way, I do agree that it makes people impossible to understand how these categories work. Some of the people, even in Hungary, couldn't really understand, for example, how to differentiate between the true essentia or natural essentia or nectar,
okay,
and also essentia, which are completely different wines. But thanks for God, now there is only essentia. But unfortunately, more than 5 and 6 Putoños, but 3 and 4 too. I think it's too much for the market, to be honest.
And you probably have to spend a great deal of your time just educating people what the different wines mean as a function of different degrees of ripeness.
Yes, that's really the case.
Yeah. Ben, you probably spend, the majority of your time educating people?
I think probably I spend the majority of my time trying to explain what a Putoño is.
Okay.
And then trying to explain what Azu is. And then trying to explain what Tokai is. And then trying to explain what 3, 4, 5, 6 Putoños are. And I feel like having a blackboard when I'm at a tasting and just saying, look at the blackboard.
Yes, yes.
But it is, and I think it's something that we can't really fundamentally change. The Hungarian language is, if Istvan will excuse me, is incredibly complicated and difficult to learn. I've been coming to Hungary for about 20 years, and my linguistic skills are really absolutely zero. So it is to get down to just Putoños and Azu and 5 and 6 is really quite an achievement. But I think with the Royal Tokai labels, we've now had 3 gradual changes from when we started.
Okay.
And we now reckon that simplicity is where it's at. Educational, provenance, and then simplicity.
Oh, I'm going to make a note of that.
So what we really want people, consumers and followers to do is to ask for a Royal Tokai. And that will automatically get them into the 5 Putoños, so red label style of wine.
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. We do not have a lot of time left in this segment. When we come back for the second segment, could I ask the two of you to actually, pretend like you were in a classroom together and you're teaching us exactly what you would teach people at a tasting?
As long as you've got about 3 or 4 hours, absolutely fine.
You know what, Ben, you should be, or maybe you already do, you have a video or something, produce something that you could be having up on the website also so people could be learning about this and almost create a certification program, an international certification program where people have to, they can become certified to be able to lead tastings and consultations with regard to Tokaj wines.
Yes, I think that is good, and it is what we're sort of moving towards in a more professional way. There's quite a lot of information on our website, and also we are just in the final process of putting forward a brand presentation.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
We're on that. I think the without preempting anything, what you're saying is that the best way to educate is to pull a cork.
Of course. We're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Istvan Turci and Ben Haukins of the Royal Tokaj Wine Company on Wine and Dine Radio.
Hello, my name is Ron Wiegand. I'm a master of wine and master sommelier, and I've been living for the last year and a half in Tokaj, Hungary.
Hello, my name is Gerge Somogyi, and I'm editor and founder of the Tokaj Journal, the world's only wine magazine that is focused exclusively on the Hungary's Tokaj wine region. You can subscribe to this magazine if you go to www.thetokajjournal.com for a better understanding of the wines, the grape varieties, the geography, the history, the people and the terroir of Tokaj, and also first-hand information on the latest trends and developments in this wonderful region.
I have to confess that I don't believe I've ever tasted a Tokaj wine before. I can imagine it in my mind's eye because I've read tasting notes, and it just sounds like absolutely pure nectar. And to quote Hugh Johnson, who is one of the founding shareholders, it is a wine that could make angels sing out loud in praise. We're continuing our conversation with Istvan Turci, the managing director, and Ben Haukins, the director of international sales for the Royal Tokaj Wine Company. And Ben, to go back to what you were saying and to give people a little bit of history, the Royal Tokaj Wine Company, was that the first group of international investors in Tokaj?
That is correct. We were the very first to show that our confidence in this great wine region. Hugh Johnson was just updating his World Atlas of Wine, figured there was one region in the world that was underperforming. That was Tokaj, for historical reasons that we needn't go into now. And so we were the first people to invest, put our monies, Western monies, into Tokaj. And we've really led the way since then. And it's been fascinating seeing how a dream of creating something in Eastern Europe has now, not seamlessly, but has transferred itself into being, we are now producers of luxury goods in the EU.
Yeah.
And that's a major step forward.
The list of key personnel on the website, listing you and Istvan and Karoli Atz and Dr. George Roscoe and Hugh Johnson and Daniel, who was there from the beginning? Mr. Johnson, you were there from the beginning, and Karoli Atz and Istvan, were you there also from the beginning?
I joined the company quite late, in 1998. Ben and Karoli Atz, who is a winemaker, joined far earlier. But Hugh was the first, of course. He came to the region in 1989 to see whether there are some tracks of the ancient glory of the region still there. And they could find, thanks for God, quite a few excellent wines in our small village in Mad, actually.
Does the Royal Tokaj Wine Company own vineyards, or do you work with long-term contracts with vineyard owners?
Actually, we own about 107 hectares of vineyards, mainly in Mad. There is only one terroir, which is exceptional. It is located in the next community called Tartsal, and this is the great first class vineyard which we shared with Hugh.
Oh, so when Hugh Johnson came to the area in 1989, that's the first thing he did was buy a vineyard?
No, we entered the Meseschmeyer a bit later. The first patch we bought was in 1994, which finally extended to two-thirds of the terroir by 1998.
How fascinating. And I understand that some people who had vineyard land before communism were not able to get their vineyard land back after communism left.
Yes, that's correct. This is the fact. It worked in a very difficult or complicated way to explain, but they just got back some kind of vouchers.
Okay,
and they could make a bid for certain lands, but actually not for their previous properties.
Oh, that's so fascinating. Somebody has to write a book about that.
Certainly.
Yeah, really, and share that with everyone, history of the region. That would be a fascinating book to study.
Well, I'm sorry, just to butt in there, I think that Hugh is collecting a massive amount of historical information and documentation. And Istvan unearthed only this week documents, I think Istvan 1570, which absolutely showed that the name Azu was being used, and also that's about the earliest that we can trace ownership in written form to the owners of the Meseschmeyer vineyard. So that's almost 500 years ago.
Ben, let me ask you, we don't have a ton of time and we certainly don't have 3 hours, although we could record 3 hours if you're game for it. Could you please explain to people the dessert, the traditional dessert wines are, because many people are familiar with like Sauternes or Port. So could you make draw some kind of a comparison or parallel with those?
Yeah, absolutely. Port is red and fortified matures beautifully and is just what we should be having on cold winter's afternoons in front of a roaring fire. Sauternes is slightly more alcohol than the Azu wines and only half the acidity, and that's the key.
Really? Half the acidity?
And they've been producing wines happily in Sauternes in Western Europe, in France, uninterrupted by the communist regime.
Yes.
Tokaj is really the oldest of the three, and certainly people, including your past president, Mr. Jefferson, was paying more for Tokaj than many other wines from Bordeaux. So our provenance is there, and the difference really is that Tokaj does have double the acidity to most Sauternes and 3 or 4 degrees less alcohol. So it's roughly a 10-degree alcohol wine. And the key difference, if you like, between our wines and others, it's what a retailer, Peter Morrell, told me in New York many years ago as he advanced towards our booth at some wine show. Ah, these are the famous sweet and dry wines. And that, I think, if you want a sound bite, that, I think, is says it all. You've got this wonderful richness and acidity, which you could, if you like, is the dryness wrapped up within the richness. So it does, it's almost, I'll give you another analogy, it's almost the flip side of champagne.
Oh, I like that.
With champagne, if you get that wonderful acidity, which gets the, you know, you just need another few more glasses, and then you'll absolutely want to eat something. And the same with Tokaj, we were just talking about it 2 days ago, that if you really want to enjoy your wines for dinner, then if you start with something with acidity, whether it's champagne or the Royal Tokaj Late Harvest or the Mad Cuvée or the Azu wines, then that just gets the gastric juices going. So it is one of those wines that does need to be tasted.
What
I would also say,
yes,
is that for consumers not to be too scared about these odd names.
Yes, yes.
Take confidence on your side and experiment. And I can guarantee you that you'll come out smiling.
Okay, so let's briefly suggest to people that with the Azu wines, the 6 Potonos is sweeter than the 5, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you another thing. I remember one time when I was in Germany and I experienced, it was, I don't know what it was. It was sweeter, much sweeter. It was sweeter than an Auschlese Riesling. And it was older. It was probably 20, 30 years old. And I remember being so amazed by how dry it was. So
Absolutely. Do
these wines do the same thing? Is that the older they get, the drier the perception is in the mouth?
Well, I'll have a quick word and leave that to Istvan. I'm not sure about that, but the acidity stays the whole time and the richness stays. So they kind of mellow beautifully.
Okay.
Istvan, you might want to add to that.
Yes, the older the wines, the less the sugar you can taste.
Okay.
And the complexity of the wine is increases by the aging. There are more and more, as we say, layers develop in the wine by the time. First, you can taste lovely, fresh, fruity, sometimes from the Les Vignettes, florally character, then a dried fruity character showed. And finally, when these wines are 30, 40, 50 years old, you can taste a nice tea leaf or cigar box character.
Oh, my.
But less and less sugar. Our vintage 1990, Becek 5 Puttonyos also, which is actually somewhere at the higher border of its class, around 150 grams a liter, you nearly taste it bone dry by now.
Gentlemen, we've just scratched the surface. I have so many more questions. Perhaps you will let me include a further conversation about this in 2012.
That would be wonderful, Lynn. We're almost in 2012 now, but very happy to.
Happy New Year, toasted with a glass of Royal Tokaj from Hungary. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much,
Lynn.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.